This is Naked Astronomy, the space science podcast from the Naked Scientists. John Stocky is a professor of astronomy at the University of Colorado. In addition to his day job using Hubble Space Telescope images to explore the gas in the universe, he travels the world researching ancient and aboriginal astronomy.
Why is it important to us what they knew? And indeed, even today, what I do is also what they still know, because we have indigenous people living around the world in rather traditional ways, and they have knowledge which tells us about who we were, who they are, and how the ideas of our world, our worldview, our cosmology developed, and actually a tremendous amount about the diversity of that view. In the Western world, we have a single very strong tradition that comes from Egypt and Babylon to Greece, and then to Europe, and finally to the United States and the rest of the world. We could, in fact, look at our world today and see that it is dominated by a single culture that started with the Renaissance 400 plus years ago. It's taken us in a specific way, whether we like it or not. And so I often refer to that culture that we are a part of as the Western technological monoculture. Regardless of where you are in the world, in the big cities of the world, you're embedded in that culture, the culture of cell phones, internet, jet planes, technology in general. But surrounding that are other cultures that allow us a diversity of understanding and experience that are rapidly going away. And so my thing is not so much to study ancient astronomy, but to study current day astronomy as practiced by indigenous cultures. And I love it because it gives me a diversity of understanding that I wouldn't get otherwise, and an appreciation for just different modes of thought than the mode that's present in our specific culture. It's sort of like if we could look at the roads that we, or the paths that we chose not to take. Okay, here are some of those paths, and they tell us something about who we are as a species, and I like that.
You've already implied that actually the extant populations of people who would understand this are dwindling quite quickly.
Yes.
Where do we have to look to find people who are outside of this culture? Yeah.
This is very important, and they do exist. Just this last year, I'll give you a couple of examples. We were in Peru this summer and got an opportunity to visit the Caro. That word Caro, Q-E-R-O, means vessel in the Inca language, which is called Quechua. These Caro fled to the mountains 500 years ago when the Spanish showed up, and they realized something bad was about to happen, and they took off. And they've been living there ever since. And so even though they interact with the Western culture, they still are able to maintain a lot of their own cultural values, their own traditions, their own way of life, which actually is extremely robust and apparently quite healthy, despite living at 13, 14,000 feet. It's a remarkable culture, and we were able to study both their herbal plant medicine knowledge and a bit about their astronomy as well. More recently, we were in India, in southern India, in the mountains near a town called Udi, where there are still existing ancient tribals, they're called, people that not too long ago were not very interactive with Western culture, and at that point they were still using Stone Age tools. Well, just in the last few years, they've become more and more interactive. They've gotten things from our culture, but still they've been able to maintain some of their knowledge. And you're right, it's dwindling. We now live in a very precious time. If this knowledge is ever going to be preserved, these are the decades that it will really determine how much. The younger people of these tribes are going to school. These schools, typically mandated by state education systems, conform more and more to Western sensibilities and customs and knowledge. And that means that there is a devaluation of this cultural knowledge that comes from their elders. No longer is the oral tradition as strong as it used to be anywhere in the world, but thankfully there's still some there.
So is it purely the oral tradition we have to rely on? We're relying on the ways that people pass information from one generation to the next rather than, say, writing it down or instruments that we can look at or objects of art that might tie into their understanding of the universe?
Well, certainly all of those are possibilities. I work with an Australian Aboriginal elder in Northern Territories, Australia. Bill Harney is a Wardaman, that's the name of his tribe, and he's also a custodian of the rock art in his tradition. And so the rock art is there, and we can go and look at it, but we need someone to tell the story. So actually, the oral tradition itself, I look at as part of what we want to preserve, the process itself. But of course, there are other ways. Bill has written books with people. I've collaborated with Bill and an Australian storyteller to produce a planetarium show showing Bill's astronomy knowledge. They have dark constellations, by the way, in Bill's tradition, dark clouds silhouetted against the Milky Way, which we find only in the Southern Hemisphere. And it's those unique pieces that I look at and look for that I'm really interested in. The Inca also, the Caro, have dark constellations. Other groups, the Navajo in the U.S., have only 8 constellations. So unlike the Greek sky, the Greek Babylonian sky, which many people think, oh, those are the constellations. Well, that's one culture's constellations. The Navajo only have 8, and they've got a story, a creation story that tells why there are only 8, and the cultural understanding that comes out of that incompleteness of creation is an important aspect of Navajo tradition and Navajo psychology, and gives us a different perspective on both the sky and human beings who have that kind of reference. I love looking for the quirky little things that different groups have.
I suppose without the people there to give you the context, this takes us back to the Western technological culture. We would view their objects, their writing, their art, through a filter of our own culture, which, as you say, comes down from the Egyptian through the Greek line. Does this mean that we need to be very, very careful when constructing ancient or non-Western astronomy? We need to be very careful to ensure that we don't apply our own cultural filters to it.
Well, we certainly are, and we've seen plenty of examples of that, and people that read these chronicles have to judge for themselves what they mean. A famous example is this tribe in Mali called the Dogon, who live on the edge of the desert, and it's been reported for almost 100 years now that somehow the Dogon knew about stars that are not visible to the naked eye, a companion to the brightest star in the sky, Sirius. In my opinion, that's an interpretation that is primarily an overlay of Western culture and science onto the traditional knowledge of the Dogon and interpreting it in a certain way that doesn't make sense in terms of the ancient indigenous worldview in which the sky and the earth are actually inseparable in some way and very local to the environment, something that we as a culture that know about spacecraft and visits to the moon and distant galaxies have a hard time seeing the sky in that way. I do too. That's one reason it's so delightful to listen to these people relating to the sky in this very different way. It's hard to step out of the cultural trance that the Western culture creates for us. But I think it's essential to both understand and appreciate these cultures to do that.
So how can understanding these other cultures, these other astronomies, how can that help to inform Western astronomy?
I don't look at it as informing Western astronomy specifically. As I mentioned earlier, 400 years ago, we took a certain path as far as technological and scientific development. The scientific method is a powerful, objective, we like to say, methodology for finding truth, for making a better understanding of the world. But what the view from other cultures reminds us is that it may not be the only way to view the world. It may not be the only methodology that helps us understand all of our world. Certainly, viewing things scientifically requires that we view the world through our mind. That means that we're creating concepts. These concepts are largely drivers for our understanding, but at the same time provide limitations. For example, one thing that I see over and over again in ancient cultures and indigenous cultures today is a connection between themselves and the natural environment around them that actually is not generally present in Western society. And so when it comes to doing things with respect to the environment, happily we've finally come around to a place of greater respect for that. But ancient cultures have that right from the start because they're relating to the natural environment in a way that our culture just has not had the tradition for. In India, we went out to visit the Kota people recently, and their temple, they have smaller temples, but their primary temple is this enormous tree. And this enormous tree is at the center of their village and has been there by their tradition for 1,000 years since the founder of that village came there and planted that the seed for that tree. And so they worship under that tree. They have traditions associated with that tree. Our places of worship are usually not in the natural environment, and so our places of worship help us to displace that connection feeling from the natural environment in other directions. Certainly these tribes, their astronomy, their ancient knowledge, their way of being helps us see what we have lost by taking one path. I'm not arguing that we shouldn't have taken that path towards technological development. We wouldn't be sitting here talking in this way, in fact, sharing these ideas without that. But it's worthwhile, in my opinion, to look over our shoulder every now and then just to see, hey, was there something essential back there that we lost? And indigenous cultures help us do that.
That was John Stockey from the University of Colorado.